Democracy Now! Coming up next.
Thank you for supporting our annual fundraising campaign. From the bottom of our musical hearts, thank you for sitting pretty as one of radio's best friends.
Democracy Now!
They are fighting so hard to seal this damn thing. Look at what's going on. Look at what's going on in your state. Every day, they're talking about extending hours and stuff. What? Who ever heard of this stuff? We should have one day voting and paper ballots.
As Donald Trump stirs up false claims of voter fraud ahead of Election Day, we'll speak with Neil Makija, chair of the election board in Montgomery, Pennsylvania. He says you're being lied to about voter fraud.
Picture this, an America where your voice matters equally, as much as anyone else's, where your voice carries the same weight no matter who you are, where you're from, or what you have. That's the promise of democracy. One person, one vote. Sounds simple, right? But it's revolutionary. And right now, that promise is in danger.
We'll also speak with the former general counsel of the Federal Election Commission, then to Gaza, to Save the Children's Rachel Cummings.
The situation for children in Gaza is dire. After 1 year of conflict and constant bombardment, multiple displacements, children are living in constant fear. Deep concern about the immediate and the longer-term impacts of that.
And finally to Michigan, where Trump and Harris campaigned in the battleground state over the weekend, seeking support from the state's 200,000 Arab American and Muslim voters, many of whom have denounced U.S. support for Israel's war on Gaza.
This year has been difficult, given the scale of death and destruction in Gaza, and given the civilian casualties and displacement in Lebanon. It is devastating. And as president, I will do everything in my power to end the war in Gaza.
We'll speak with the mayor of Dearborn, who refused to meet with Donald Trump, but has not endorsed Kamala Harris. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, War, Peace, and the Presidency. I'm Amy Goodman. Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump are both headed to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania today on the final day of campaigning before Tuesday's election. Harris is scheduled to also hold three other events in Pennsylvania, in Scranton, in Allentown, and in Philadelphia. Trump's also heading to Raleigh, North Carolina, Reading, Pennsylvania, and will end in Grand Rapids, Michigan tomorrow. More than 78 million voters have already cast their ballots. On Sunday, Trump held a rally in Lititz, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, where he told supporters he shouldn't have left the White House after losing to Joe Biden 4 years ago.
We had the safest border in the history of our country the day that I left. I shouldn't have left. I mean, honestly, because we did so well.
During the same rally, Trump also said he wouldn't mind if someone shot through a crowd of journalists covering his rally.
And to get me, somebody would have to shoot through the fake news. And I don't mind that so much, because I don't mind that.
For months, pollsters have predicted the presidential race will come down to seven battleground states: Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, North Carolina, Arizona, Nevada, and Georgia. But over the weekend, the most prominent pollster in Iowa, Ann Seltzer, released the Des Moines Register poll, which showed Harris has taken a shocking 3-point lead in Iowa, which Trump easily won in 2016 and 2020. The poll showed women voters have shifted heavily toward Harris in Iowa, where a 6-week abortion ban took effect in July. In related news, thousands took part in a women's march to the White House on Saturday.
We got to stand stand up for democracy. We have to stand up for a woman's right to have control over her body, control over her life. Women's rights are human rights. And we were back in the hallways. I'm a 77-year-old woman. I remember when women were crying and carrying on with coat hangers and other kinds of means to save their lives.
Top United Nations officials are warning again the entire Palestinian population in North Gaza is, quote, at imminent risk of dying from disease, famine, and violence. In a warning issued on Friday, the heads of 15 humanitarian groups wrote, quote, the situation unfolding in North Gaza is apocalyptic. The area has been under siege for almost a month, denied basic aid and life-saving supplies, while bombardment and other attacks continue, unquote. According to UNICEF, Israeli attacks killed more than 50 children over a 48-hour period this weekend in the Jabalia refugee camp. Earlier today, Israeli forces shelled the Kamal Adwan hospital. The hospital's director said multiple children were injured when the Israeli shells struck the pediatric ward and nursery. Israel's also accused of attacking a polio vaccination center in Gaza City, injuring at least 4 children. On Friday, an Israeli airstrike killed Palestinian photojournalist Bilal Mohammed Rajab, bringing the death toll of journalists killed in Gaza to as high as 183 over the last 13 months. Aid groups fear the humanitarian situation will soon worsen in Gaza as Israel has officially notified the United Nations that it has cut off ties to UNRWA, the UN Agency for Palestine Refugees. The head of the World Health Organization, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, condemned Israel's move.
This ban will not make Israel safer. It will only deepen the suffering of the people of Gaza and increase the risk of disease outbreaks.
On Friday, the Pentagon announced new deployments to the Middle East, including B-52 long-range bombers and ballistic missile defense destroyers. In a statement, the Pentagon said the move was done in part for the, quote, defense of Israel, unquote. Meanwhile, on Capitol Hill, a group of progressive lawmakers led by Rashida Tlaib and Cori Bush have sent President Biden a letter warning the growing U.S. involvement in regional wars in the Middle East has not been authorized by Congress. The lawmakers wrote, quote, these destructive wars must end, as must any unauthorized U.S. involvement in them, they wrote. Here in New York City, protesters took to the streets Saturday to demand no votes for genocide. Protesters decried both Kamala Harris and Donald Trump for supporting Israel's war on Gaza and refusing to back an arms embargo on Israel. Participants at the protest included Claudia de la Cruz, who's running for president on the Party for Socialism and Liberation ticket.
We are here to remind the capitalist state that there is an entire movement of hundreds of thousands of people all across this country that has been demanding a ceasefire, that has been demanding an arms embargo, that has been demanding an end to the expansion of genocide and war in the Middle East, and that we have not been heard, we have not been considered, and in that same way, we will engage in our political right not to engage with a two-party system that continuously insists on paying for and bombing babies across the Middle East.
Meanwhile, in London, pro-Palestinian protesters held a symbolic die-in in front of the British Prime Minister's office Saturday. In Spain, King Felipe, Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez, and other officials were met with furious crowds as they toured the flood-stricken Valencia region, where at least 214 people died last week. Locals threw mud at the king and his entourage and shouted out, "Killer, shame, and you abandon us," amidst mounting public outrage over the delayed warnings before the disaster and the slow delivery of aid in the flood's wake. In Colombia, the UN Biodiversity Summit, known as COP16, ended without a much sought-after agreement on funding by wealthy countries. Greenpeace International said, quote, the world has lost 5 to 10% of all insect species in the last 150 years. There will be no way out of this terrifying biodiversity crisis if global north countries continue to put money above life on our planet, they said. Negotiators from smaller countries said they had to abandon talks after they stretched past the official end of the summit because they could not afford to change their flight plans. But some good news emerged from the summit as well, including a measure establishing a permanent indigenous consulting body at the UN to weigh in on conservation issues. This is Camila Paz Romero, spokesperson for indigenous peoples at the summit.
Esta es una ocasión sin precedentes.
This is an unprecedented event in the history of multilateral agreements on the environment. The indigenous groups and the local communities of the world are connected through our knowledge systems on how to take care of life and biodiversity. Let's remember the long way we have advanced with this agreement. This new subsidiary organ is an example for the rest of the world. In it, the different parties recognize the constant need for our complete and effective participation.
Environmentalists also welcome progress on the Global Oceans Treaty, which groups hope will be ratified by June 2025, as well as a new measure for drug companies to share profits from products based on genetic data derived from nature. Moldova's EU-aligned president, Maia Sandu, has won a second term following a runoff vote which pitted the incumbent against a pro-Moscow opponent. Sandu's national security advisor accused Russia of massive interference. This is President Sandu at her victory speech.
Moldova has been under an unprecedented attack in the history of all Europe. Dirty money, illegal vote buying, the interference in electoral processes by hostile forces from outside the country and by criminal groups, lies, sowing hatred and fear within our society. Our people have united, and freedom and the citizens have won. Peace and hope for a better life have prevailed.
Meanwhile, in the Republic of Georgia, prosecutors are investigating allegations of election fraud against President Salome Zurabishvili, refused last week to recognize the parliamentary election victory of the ruling Georgian Dream Party. She accuses Georgian Dream of using Russian-style tactics and propaganda to rig the elections. The EU has suspended Georgia's EU membership process over its foreign influence law passed in June, which critics say is modeled after Russian laws. The Sudanese Doctors Union says fighters for the paramilitary rapid support forces raped at least 47 people, including three minors, in the eastern Al Jazeera state as part of a retaliation campaign against the Sudanese army. An 11-year-old girl died from her bleeding. This comes amidst a spate of recent reports on widespread sexual assault as the devastating civil war in Sudan rages on. A UN report has accused militia fighters of using rape as part of a genocidal campaign in Darfur to eliminate non-Arab ethnic groups like the Masalit. One survivor said her attacker told her, quote, we will make you give birth to Arab children. Aid groups are reporting an increase in suicides among rape survivors and women who fear being raped. In news from Puerto Rico, an estimated 50,000 people attended a rally Sunday organized by the center-left coalition known as Alianza, or Alliance, ahead of Tuesday's election. The third-party coalition has gained momentum, with Puerto Rican voters disaffected with the two main parties over corruption scandals, austerity policies, and the disastrous privatization of the electrical grid. Alianza's gubernatorial candidate, Juan Dalmau, addressed the crowd.
As a people, during the last 55 years, we've suffered the consequences of the bipartisan red and blue, of a leadership which betrayed the faith that many Puerto Ricans had on them. Our moment to reclaim this country has arrived, to reclaim the government as ours.
This is Puerto Rican music superstar Bad Bunny, who also performed at the event.
In 2 days, whether there's thunder, rain, or lightning, nothing will stop us from making history. I will never forget how the government abandoned us during the hurricane. This November 5th, this Tuesday, November 5th, we are going to be the storm, and there's nobody who can save them.
Bad Bunny and other Puerto Rican celebrities like Fat Joe, who will be appearing with Kamala Harris in Pennsylvania today, recently threw their support behind Harris after a conservative so-called comic at Trump's Madison Square Garden rally called Puerto Rico an island of garbage. In Kentucky, a jury found former police officer Brett Hankison guilty of using excessive force and violating the civil rights of Breonna Taylor during the raid that killed Taylor inside her own home in 2020. Taylor was a black 26-year-old emergency technician. It's the first conviction of any of the Louisville police officers involved in the botched raid. A judge will sentence Hankison on March 12th, just one day ahead of the five-year anniversary of Breonna Taylor's death. He faces a maximum sentence of life in prison. And the musical icon Quincy Jones has died at the age of 91. During a seven-decade career, the trailblazing producer, arranger, and performer won 28 Grammys and helped transform the sound of popular music, from producing Michael Jackson's Thriller to overseeing the all-star recording of We Are the World. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, War, Peace, and the Presidency. I'm Amy Goodman. You're being lied to about voter fraud. Here's the truth. That's the headline of a New York Times guest essay by Neil Makija, the chair of the Board of Elections in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, who will help oversee elections in Montgomery County in the battleground state of Pennsylvania, where both Donald Trump and Kamala Harris are campaigning today. As Trump continues to stir up false claims of voter fraud and similar rumors are flooding social media ahead of Election Day, we begin this show with a video Makija published with his essay called Our Elections Are Secure, The Right to Vote Is Not. The video is illustrated by Molly Crabapple and produced with Kim Bookbinder and Jim Batt.
Picture this, an America where your voice matters equally, as much as anyone else's. Where your voice carries the same weight, no matter who you are, where you're from, or what you have. That's the promise of democracy. One person, one vote. Sounds simple, right? But it's revolutionary. And right now, that promise is in danger. It started in earnest in 2020, when falsehoods spread about our elections became part of a calculated effort to undermine our collective voice. Since then, election deniers have been telling Americans that millions of votes are being cast illegally. By dead people, by people coming in from outside the border, by people stuffing drop boxes with illegal ballots. Election deniers brought these claims to court and lost in over 60 cases before judges of both parties. Yet the lies persist and have exploded into violence. We saw this play out in the events of January 6th when people who believed in the lies tried to disrupt the peaceful transfer of power. It also hit closer to home. Just a few weeks after that, someone claiming the election was stolen fired gunshots into a campaign headquarters right here in Montgomery County, across the street from my office. My name's Neil Makija. Here in the battleground of Pennsylvania, I've been part of a new generation of election officials who are trying to combat the attacks on our democracy. I was born the son of immigrants and grew up in a small coal and steel town. I saw firsthand that while my family was different, we held shared values of hard work and opportunity in common with all of our neighbors. I also saw how easily our communities could be divided over differences. By 2020, I was teaching election law in Philadelphia. I had to explain to my students why some folks were trying to throw out millions of legally cast votes in Pennsylvania. I knew I couldn't just teach about this stuff anymore. I had to do something. So I ran for office, and in 2023, I won. Now, as a Montgomery County commissioner, I oversee the elections for 865,000 people. I became the first Asian American to hold this position in all of Pennsylvania's history. My fellow commissioner, Jamila Winder, is the first black woman. We are living proof of what democracy can look like. When I took office as chair of the Board of Elections, I found that the lies about our elections have become worse than ever. Every public meeting is now full of conspiracy theories. But here's what I've learned. Our elections are secure. You are more likely to get struck by lightning than to find voter fraud. Here's why. We have layers of protection to ensure that no one can vote more than once. And starting when a person registers to vote, we make sure that they're eligible citizens over 18 by Election Day. Whether you vote in person or by mail, there are full paper trails every step of the way. Mail-in ballot envelopes are stamped with unique barcodes. They can be safely returned through secure drop boxes, which are monitored 24/7. Our county voter services and sheriffs manage highly secure daily pickups of the ballots. And every single ballot is scanned and kept safe and secure. After each election, we conduct multiple public audits to detect any irregularities. If we do detect an issue, or if it's just a very close election, the law requires a full recount. Pulling off widespread voter fraud with 10,000 different locally run elections across the country would be like trying to rob every bank in America at the same time. It's just not happening. In my county alone, on Election Day, we have 2,700 poll workers across 430 precincts. These are your friends and neighbors of all parties working together to help everyone vote. Witnessing the incredible care that goes into ensuring everyone has the chance to vote, most county officials will appropriately certify an election. If our elections are this secure, the truth is, none of these lies have been about election integrity. It's always been about power. American democracy started with just 6% of people being eligible to vote. It took generations upon generations of activists subjecting themselves to violent opposition to expand voting rights to women, to people of color, and young people, to a majority of our country. These rights were hard won. There are some who are afraid of democracy in an ever-evolving, inclusive America. They're part of a shrinking minority that wants to entrench itself in power and enact policies that set us back to a time when we had no rights. Instead of celebrating record voter participation, in recent years, anti-democracy politicians have run for office specifically to introduce laws making it harder for us to vote. They continue to lie about the security of our process and even go as far as to deny the certification of free and fair elections. Inevitably, this leads to violence. This isn't just an attack on voting. It's part of an attack on the American ideal that we all deserve a voice. To protect democracy, we can't just play defense. We need to go on offense to expand voting rights and access. We can make early voting easier, provide language assistance, support community voting centers. We can even bring mobile polling places to senior centers or college campuses where voters don't drive. We need a movement in every corner of the country to celebrate our hard-won right to vote. It's time to step up and support those who will hold sacred our democratic process, who will reject violence and accept the outcome of elections no matter the result. The vast majority of us agree on this, because in the end, this is bigger than a policy debate. America is on the cusp of something unprecedented, a truly multiracial, inclusive democracy, where we respect our differences and our rights, where our highest courts and halls of power truly seek to represent the best interests of everyone. That's never existed before, not here, not anywhere. That America is within our grasp at this moment, but it could slip away. This is the dream we've been chasing since 1776. It's now up to us to make it real.
Neil Makija, chair of the Election Board in Montgomery, Pennsylvania, reading his guest essay, Our Elections Are Secure, The Right to Vote Is Not. The video picked up by the New York Times. It was illustrated by Molly Crabapple and produced with Kim Bookbinder and Jim Batt. When we come back, we'll speak with Commissioner Makija, as well as former general counsel of the Federal Election Commission, Larry Noble. Stay with us. Witching Hour by Quincy Jones, the musical icon, has died at the age of 91. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, War, Peace, and the Presidency. I'm Amy Goodman. Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump are both headed to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania today on the final day of campaigning before Tuesday's election. Harris is scheduled to hold three other events in Pennsylvania, in Scranton and Allentown and Philadelphia. Trump is also heading to Raleigh, North Carolina, Reading, Pennsylvania, and Grand Rapids, Michigan tonight. More than 78 million voters have already cast their ballots in the 2024 election. For months, pollsters have predicted the presidential race will come down to seven states: Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, North Carolina, Arizona, Nevada, and Georgia. But over the weekend, the most prominent pollster in Iowa, Ann Selzer, released the Des Moines Register poll, which showed Harris has taken a shocking three-point lead in Iowa, which Trump easily won in 2016 and 2020. The poll showed women voters have shifted heavily toward Harris in Iowa, where a six-week abortion ban took effect in July. For more, we go to the battleground state of Pennsylvania. We're joined by Neil Makija, who serves as Montgomery County Commissioner and chair of the Board of Elections in the county, the most populous suburb of Philadelphia. Also with us in Potomac, Maryland, is Larry Noble, the former general counsel of the Federal Election Commission, now adjunct professor at American University, Washington College of Law. We welcome you both to Democracy Now! Neil Makija, that was a fascinating video essay you did of your life and the elections in the battleground state of Pennsylvania. It seems, especially as this Des Moines Register poll has come out, which predicted Trump's victory in Iowa in 2016 and 2020, but now clearly it has so shocked even the Trump campaign, he has doubled down on allegations of fraud around the country and particularly focusing on Pennsylvania, where he and Kamala Harris will be today. Talk more about why you think the elections are safer than they've ever been, yet the allegations of fraud are greater than ever.
So thank you so much for having me on for this topic. And, you know, when I took office earlier this year, I had thought that we would have seen some of the disinformation die down after 2020, given that the former president took these claims to court in 60 cases, as the video describes, and lost because there was never any evidence of widespread fraud. But unfortunately, as we've seen with other misinformation online, the more they repeat it, the more people believe it. And so he's got friends like Elon Musk that are perpetuating the idea that there are millions of votes being cast illegally, whether it's from non-citizens or from individuals they don't even describe, they can't prove, they can't show. They're perpetuating this idea that our system is not secure. And what I've done and tried to do throughout my tenure this year is make sure that in our communities and more broadly, we're giving people the facts step by step on all the safeguards that exist here in Pennsylvania and across the country. And as you say, they are more secure than ever because our system has been challenged and questioned to such a degree that we've reviewed every step of the process and done everything we can to make sure that the process has integrity. And when you have it being run by 2,800 poll workers, as we do here in Montgomery County, you have people from all political parties, friends and neighbors simply helping each other vote and exercise their fundamental rights. So when Trump casts doubt on that, he's really casting doubt on ordinary people.
Explain why Pennsylvania is so crucial to the election of President of the United States, Neil.
Well, all eyes are on Pennsylvania, and the candidates are here today, the day before the election, because we have 19 electoral votes, and this is a state that, from all indications, is the closest race in the country. It could decide the election. It's a big, diverse state. I grew up in a coal and steel town in a rural part of the state where a lot has changed and unfortunately has been more receptive to the message of Donald Trump. But there's both Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, as well as, most importantly, the suburbs, including where I am in Montgomery County, that have shifted in the other direction, that are likely places where Kamala Harris is going to make gains And yet the state remains divided quite evenly. I think the Seltzer poll is interesting. I think some of the polling could be off because they could be hurting and afraid to show that someone is breaking is breaking into an advantage. But what we're seeing right now in Montgomery County is that people are voting at historic rates. And what we don't know is, are there crossover votes happening? We know more Republicans are voting by mail than in 2020 and fewer Democrats. A lot of that is by nature of us getting past the pandemic and people feeling okay walking into their polling place. But we've had about 160,000 people vote already, and we expect several, 3 to 4